Amen. Just close our eyes, church. Let's just pray as we're going to get into the Word. Father, we thank you for your presence. I pray that you will saturate this place, that you will anoint this place, that you will anoint your people, that your oil of favor of heaven will come upon them this morning. Pray in this message, and even as we pray for some people, we lay hands, that your oil of favor will come upon them to resurrect dreams on the inside of them. Every dream that has been lost, every dream that has been dormant, every dream that has gone dead and dry, that dream will be resurrected in Jesus' mighty name. Give him a praise offering. Give him a big hand, everybody. You can, and as you know, we teach in the morning, so I want to ask you to have patience on me. If you have come from to visit or from far, many people come to visit to hear me preach or to hear me flow because you heard about our ministry. And these monitors keep cutting out, Dobie. We need to do something. But we do that in the evening. So I'm going to ask you to be patient with me as we go through the notes on the morning. Do you guys enjoy the notes that we give you out on a Sunday morning? Amen. Okay. So, and we flow in the evening, but I will flow a little bit this morning. I need to pray for some people for the reason for dreams. So just stay with me and then we can go through this. Say with me, the coat my father gave me. Say it again. Say the coat my father gave me. I want you to tell you, listen to you. Listen. There's a coat and there's a mantle this morning that's going to come upon you, that's going to activate dreams upon your life again. Now, I'm not speaking about today about interpretation of dreams or anything like that. We've done one show and my God, did we get into persecution? But did we get the people of God being hungry? I'm still receiving emails and messages up until today of people every day. Leon, please interpret this dream. Leon, please do this. We had how many views when we went on interpretation of dreams? Why? Because so many believers get dreams. They know it is of God, but they don't understand what it means. I'm not using a book with a symbol to say this means that, so let's do that. No. We interpret it by the Spirit of God and we do it accurately. And some people in the church change their name to send in a dream so that I can't be affected with me knowing them. And we interpreted accurately without me knowing who it was. So, but we're getting such a demand on that. So we're not getting into that now. We're speaking on the process of a dream that God has given us. But towards the end of the series, we might get into what we call technicalities of a dream, which means that I'll speak about your dream life. Are you guys with me? When it happens, how it happens, why it happens, how God speaks through it, how God, the Bible says God speaks once, even twice, in a dream, in a vision of the night. He sleeps in the slumberings on our bed. It's a time of sleeping called REM. And how to induce it, and etc., and etc. So, God speaks. God, if I live sick, the Bible says that 1/3 of our lives we are sleeping. Which means that if I'm 60 years old, I've been sleeping 20 years of my life. But now the Bible says that, listen here, it says that Job says that God speaks once, even twice, in a dream, in a vision of the night. God speaks in every dream to us. There's dreams that we don't remember. Listen, scientists have explained that when you wake up, your dreams, you've dreamt many dreams in one night, you just can't remember them. God speaks through them, which means that for 20 years, if we are 60 years old, for 20 years, God has spoken constantly to us. And people are saying, where's God? I don't hear him. No. Job goes on and he says, but if there is an interpreter, if there is somebody that can interpret it, he will save thousands. He will cause them not to go down into the pit and cause them to be delivered. If there is somebody that can hear my, that can interpret a dream, he will save many. God is just looking, God speaks through many dreams, but he's looking for a people that can say, I know what that dream means. By the end of the series, maybe we'll teach you how to do it, or we'll do that in 2 years' time. We'll see. You don't get a response, so we'll do it in 2 years' time. So let's go to Genesis chapter number 37. 37 on your notes there. The coat my father gave me. Genesis chapter number 37, verse number 3. Now listen to these words. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Say, more than all his children. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves me more than you. Say it again. Say, God loves me more than you. Okay, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw, when his brethren saw the father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. Listen, when they saw the favor of God on him, when people will see the favor of God on you, they will begin to hate you. Listen, when they see the favor of God on you, they will begin to hate you. And the Bible says they could not speak peaceably unto Joseph. And Joseph, say with me, he dreamed a dream. Everywhere in the Bible it speaks of a dream, it says that that person dreamed a dream. They just not didn't just dream, they dreamed a dream. When you dream a dream, you better know God is speaking to you. And you'll understand it as we go into the series more and more. And he told his brothers, biggest mistake you could have done. And they hated him even more. Come on, are you guys with me? I want to speak this morning, I want to minister, and I might preach, teach, because that's how these notes are really set up for me to preach, because this is actually a message for me to preach, not to teach. But God is here to give you a tailor-made, custom-made coat from heaven that'll cause you to dream. Please take note that before Joseph began to dream, he was given a coat of many colors. Are you guys with me? Say with me, a multicolored dream coat. A multicolored dream coat. Before he started to dream, he was given that mantle. When he put that mantle on, when he was wearing that coat, his eyes began to open up and he began to dream. What do I mean by that? That coat that Joseph wore symbolized honor. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that his father made him a coat. He didn't say his father gave him a coat, which means that his father took time and value into tailoring, making a coat, tailored made, perfectly fitted for Joseph of many colors. That coat of many colors speaks of coats that people would wear when they are royalty. Are you guys with me? When they wore that coat, it meant that they were honored. It meant that they were respected. Imagine how his brothers felt. It's like you got 10 brothers and you're given a crown and you're given a Rolex and you're given this nice car and your brothers aren't getting nothing. It means that you are honored and that you're favored. Come on, are you guys with me? It means that you're spoiled. Listen to me. We have a God that spoils us in every... You have a God that even if you mess up as a prodigal son, if you return back to him, he spoils you. He puts a ring on your finger, a robe of righteousness around you, and he gives you a fatted calf, which is only preserved for weddings and big ceremonies. That's our God. He spoils you. Until we understand that mindset, listen, how many of you want to spoil your children? Give them everything their hearts desires. How much more our Heavenly Father, who does not have darkness in the shadow, he doesn't even have shadow in his turning, he's got no darkness in him. Say spoiled. Now it says, listen, Joseph's father made him that coat. Joseph's father made him a multicolored dream coat. He made him this coat. When Joseph was wearing this coat, I want you to understand, this is not in the notes. Listen, when Joseph was wearing this coat, he would walk like royalty. He would act like royalty. He would even betray his brothers. When I say betray, he would split on them. Every time they did something wrong, the Bible says Joseph ran to his father and told his father what his brothers did, the evil report. But he felt like royalty when he was walking. He talked right like royalty. And as a result, the brothers hated him. But that feeling of royalty caused him to begin to have big dreams. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Many people have little dreams. Oh Lord, if I can only have this small house and just have a little job that can pay my salary. No, you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. He died on a cross and he gave his life for you and I, not to be in a little flat somewhere for the rest of our lives and just with 9 cats and that's it. No. He, listen here, he's given us royalty. He's given us rule, authority, dominion to rule and to reign and to take over. And I prophesy to you that centurion will be taken over under the anointing in this church. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice, you will take over, whether it is business, whether it is finances, whether it is spiritual, ministry, supernatural. I don't care where you are, you will take over. Say with me, take over. Dream, it's for free. Come on, are you guys with me? You lose nothing through dreaming, but I can tell you where you lose something by not dreaming. Because when you dream, you begin to dream so much and live so much in the future that you become that, you talk that, you live that, you breathe that, you walk that, you talk that. Wherever you go, you begin to act like that dream that is locked up in your heart, and you become that. Only when that begins to materialize does God say, now you are ready for it, I'll take you right into it. Because you become uncomfortable in your current situation. You cannot fit in your current situation. Come on. I really want to preach and minister to people, but we'll do it tonight. The working tonight, we minister on how to work the anointing. Now listen, say with me, made. He made him a coat, which means that, my God, when Joseph put on that coat, that's what I'm saying, when he felt on it, when he felt he had his identity, dreams began to come. I pray that this morning, that's why I'm going to pray for people, that our identity can be raised to another level of royalty. That you'll begin to open up your eyes and your heart and begin to dream. Doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. Begin to dream the impossible. Our God lives. Listen here, C.S. Lewis said these words. Just because I have a craving for something that this world cannot offer me, gives me the evidence and proof that there's another world that can offer me this. I'm going to say it again. C.S. Lewis said, just because I have a craving, a hunger, a dream of something that this world can't offer me is proof and existence that there's another world. It's proof and evidence that there's another world that exists that can offer me this. So just when you dream, dreams is the annals. It's the hallway into another world. It's the canal into another world. Say with me, he made. Your Father in heaven made, Taylor made you a dream coat that fits you and I perfectly. It is time to pick up that coat and wear it. Come on, guys, with me. Joseph could have chosen not to wear that coat, and he wouldn't have gotten any persecution. But because he put that coat on, he looked like royalty, smelled like royalty, walked like royalty, and his brothers hated him for it. And they wanted to kill him. But what they didn't know, the more they tried to kill him, the more they pushed him into his destiny. On your second page there, we see that this coat had many colors. Say with him, many colors. This means that it stood out. It was visible to all, and it was different to all. And because it stood out and it had a royalty factor to it, it attracted attention from every single person. From the bad and the good. Come on, guys, with me. When you begin to walk in your dream, you'll attract the good, the bad, and the ugly. They will all come. But that's where people begin to give up. Listen, I wrote there, I said, this coat caused Joseph to be the target of much jealousy. But he wore the coat with confidence because he knew that his father had given him that coat. The question this morning is, what coat are we wearing? You see, we have a choice. We can wear the coat with confidence, or we can leave it off. Deuteronomy 30 verse 10 there says these words. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. God is saying, listen, I have set this morning before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and you can choose. The same way when it comes to our dream coat, God can say, listen, here it is in front of you. You can choose to pick it up. You can choose to wear it today, or you can choose not to wear it. Are you guys with me? You know, many people wear the coat of the enemy. That's a coat of rejection. It's a coat of insecurity. When they walk into a place or a job, an interview, or wherever they're going, they feel inferior. They feel, I don't know if I'm going to make this. That's not Christ-like. When you understand that the man that's sitting in front of you was created by the God who lives in you, and he must give you a job, you walk in there knowing you don't even have to, they'll ask you to work there. When you understand that reality, listen, my God is real. Or I have just won lottery every day for the last 10 years of my life. Or God is real. What I mean by that is because he spoils me. Doesn't mean we haven't gone through hardships. I have gone through, you'll see now when you put on your dream coat. I have got hardships. How many times that I want to give up? How many times do I cry through nights? How many times do we not have money, or do we not have, never went starving, but I mean, religion will dull the mind. Are you guys with me? And it will harden the heart. Religion and tradition will dull the mind and harden the heart. the supernatural and the presence of God will open our mind in a good way, what I mean, and open our hearts and make our hearts soft. People that can raise their hands and receive the presence of God. That's what happens when we're on the supernatural. You can raise your hands and you can feel Him all over your body. That is why it is important to come the evening, so that we have both the word in the morning and the power in the evening. We don't have no word in the evening. We do have very powerful word. So go there for me to point number one there. I'm not going to read through all this stuff. Point number one. Your coat will attract criticism, rejection, and persecution. Say with me, criticism. Say rejection. And persecution. Listen, when you put on that coat, it's like when you put your arm through the sleeve, rejection comes. If you put your arm through the sleeve, attacks comes. If you put your arm through the sleeve, persecutions comes. What do I mean by wearing a dream coat? It's when you put on your identity and you know who God has called you to be. Even though you have no results of it yet, you just walk like you have the biggest ministry in this world. You just walk like you have the biggest business in this world. When you walk into a room, people must say, why are you walking this way? Why are you talking this way? That is the God factor that is in us. When I begin to wear my multicolored dream coat, it's a coat of royalty, but it also activates me to begin to dream and open my eyes every night. I mean, come on, even when I'm in my prayer room, I'll sit. Sometimes I can't even pray. Last night, I'll just sit for 2 hours and I'll just see the future. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 18. There on your notes, it says, his brothers, they spotted him from a distance. When you are anointed, people will begin to see you from a distance. Are you guys with me? They'll say from afar, there's one coming, he's dangerous. By the time he got to them, they had cooked up a plot to kill him. The brothers were saying, here comes that dreamer. Say with me, dreamer. In the Amplified, it says this, here comes that master of dreams. All he does is dreaming, because his father gave him this coat and his father is spoiling him. All he does is dreaming. Listen, it is time to begin to dream. Everything that Joseph dreamt came to pass. I'm going to say it again. Everything that Joseph dreamt came to pass. Come on, guys, with me. It is time to begin to dream. Listen here. How big is your dream? That is the question. So it said, here comes the dreamer again. Let's kill him and throw him into one of these old cisterns. We can say that a vicious, listen here. Listen, I didn't put this on the notes. I'm just getting it as I'm preaching. A cistern is a hole in the ground that held water. It's like a well. Okay, it held water, but it was a little bit differently shaped. It was shaped sometimes like this, and it would hold water. But this says, the Bible says, an old cistern, which means that the water has gone dry. It's a well that has gone dry. There are churches and there are many places religion causes wells to go dry. When they want to kill your dream, they want to throw you into religion. If once you begin to have a dream, they'll say, let's take him to a place of religion. Let's take him to a place of tradition. Let's begin to squander and kill the dream that he has over his life and throw him into a place of religion so that his dreams can die. If you want to go have your dreams die the quicker than anything else, get into a place, a church where there's religion, where there's no vision, where there's no presence of God. Come on. Your own brothers and sisters will say, how dare you wear that coat? Who do you think you are prancing in here and with that coat? Coming in looking like you all this and that. Look at all those colors. Who does he think he is? Why doesn't he just wear an ordinary coat? You don't want to go overboard. You shouldn't wear that tonight. You know that people are going to get upset if you walk in the... I'm speaking symbolically. Are you guys with me? When you just get saved, they'll say, listen here, please, just don't pray when you go to this meeting. Please stop. Just don't clap your hands when you get into this church. Please stop. Don't burst out in tongues and begin to pray. Just calm it down. Just don't be on fire. And I just got saved, my friends, my family, they said to me, listen, it's just an emotional, and my family is saved now, but I mean, before they were saved, it's just an emotional high. It's gonna stop in 6 months. Just don't be too over drastic. Just don't have too much of God. Too much of God? Are you crazy in your head? I want to have too much of Him. That people can say here, imagine what a compliment is when people say he has too much of God. I've been told that he has too much of God. Let us have too much of God. wherever you are, King David says, my cup is overflowing. That you fill my cup to overflowing. Wherever you are, that you have too much of God. When you are in this place, it is impossible for you to stay in this church unchanged. You will leave or you will change when you're in this place, but you will get so filled up with God, you will not know. Listen. Because the anointing will fall in this place. Say with me, a dream. I never dreamed that then. I was unsaved then. But I mean, once I got saved, I began to have a dream. Listen. I remember people telling me when I went into ministry, my friends, my family came against me. Then I started my ministry 10 years later. We went itinerant and false accusations came. I mean, we would have meetings here in this. That's what I'm saying. We're trying to hold it small here. We did a meeting without trying. We had 800-900 people. Revival just here around the corner. That was without trying. I said to my team, that was easy. Imagine if it is difficult. That was easy. So what I'm saying is we're trying to make it small. Even when we do our conferences, we go on advertising, pick up, put it once on Facebook, and that is it. But what I am saying is that importation works. And that we're here to impart to you. Martin will tell you, he was so scared, this guy, and insecure, he didn't even know who he was. But when you get onto this pulpit and you take this mic, there's something that comes on you. It's called an unction. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If you want to know that a place is of God, test that and see if an unction comes on you. We'll go preach in the biggest churches and there's no unction. I'll go to churches of 20 people. It's 100 people. I mean, I would take a photo and I'd say the name of the person that's on the photo. I will prophesy. You'll just go, and the glory of God would fall on two blocks here. I walk in there into a church of 2,000 people, nothing. I cannot even lay hands on one person. There is no unction. Are you guys with me? There is no unction. May the unction of God stay in this place. It is that when you take this mic, you step onto the stage, or you're under this ministry, you're going to feel an unction coming upon you. You're going to feel the fire of God coming on you. I give you 2-3 months and something in you will begin to get hungry. And you'll be like, but I can do better. I can minister to people also. I can also lay hands on people. I can also do the supernatural. I can also move and get people saved by the thousands, by the hundreds. I can also prophesy. When I stand in front of somebody, I can feel a name. And I say, listen, who is this? And they'll say, it's my brother or my sister or it is me. Then you'll know you're an ECC. May the glory of God never be removed. May God be in this place. I don't want to be too late. I want to minister to you. Listen. There in the middle, I said, Joseph did not back down from wearing the coat his father gave him. He made the wise choice. We have a decision to take up what God has given us, despite the opinions of people. Opinions is like belly buttons. Everybody have them. They will throw you in a pit and lock you up in jail. But everybody say to me, I am favored. Say, God loves me more than anybody else. People may look at you and say, you're wearing that coat out of pride. Who do you think you are? It is not out of pride. I'm wearing this coat out of respect for my father who gave this coat to me. When I wear my coat, when I walk into my identity, it is my respect of God, because of God has ordained and called me to walk in it. Are you guys with me? This is the coat my father gave me. My father gave me this coat and I'll wear it out of respect for him, because I wouldn't want my father to look at me and wonder, where is this coat? Where is this calling, this ability, this anointing I've given this person? Why is he not walking in it? I could tell him, I could say, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm ashamed to wear it, because when I wear it, my brothers attack me. So I've hidden it away in a back closet and I'm wearing this other coat. I don't know where I got this other coat from, but I'm wearing it now because I feel safe and it's comfortable. Many people serve God out of convenience and covenant. I can phone one person 2 o'clock in the morning, they'll not answer their phone. I can phone another person 2 o'clock in the morning, they'll answer their phone. Convenience, covenant. So I'm telling you right now, out of respect for my father, I wrote there, I'm going to wear the coat he gave me. Listen, go over to the next page, page 4. I want to read through this because I believe it'll touch some. So I wrote there, I said, well, what will people think? Who cares what people think? It's the coat my father gave me. How can I get this message across? What part of the coat that my father gave me do you not understand? My father gave me this coat because he loves me, and out of respect, I'll wear it for him. Actually, It's not out of pride that we wear our coats. It's out of respect. But it is out of pride that a lot of people don't wear the coat their father gave them. Some people's pride causes them to walk in a false humility. They are not humble. They just want you to think they are. Their pride manifests itself as the fear of man. When people have the fear of man, it's pride manifesting. Listen, point number two there. Say with me, the devil wants my coat. Genesis chapter number 39 verse 7. Listen, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, his wife, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, tempting him, that he did not heed to her, to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside. Listen, say none of the men. That's a dangerous place, okay? When you're alone with a woman. I always tell the guys counseling and so on, never to be alone with a woman. It says that she caught him, say with me, by his garment. She didn't grab him, she grabbed his garment. Please get this. Are you guys with me? Lie with me, she said. But he left his garment in her hand and he fled and ran outside. Now, I know this was not his multicolored dream coat, but I'm speaking about the power of clothing. Do you know that the lady with the issue of blood did not touch Jesus? She touched his robe. She never touched him. She touched his robe. Isaiah chapter number 6, it says that God's robe filled the temple. The train of his robe filled God even as clothing in heaven. He gives us clothing in the spirit. We have robes of righteousness. We have the armor of God. The Bible says we can put on Jesus Christ. There are robes that we can begin to wear. The Bible says that God is clothed with a garment of zeal. That we can clothe ourselves with a garment of praise. There's certain clothing that we can put on. But this devil is after your clothing. Come on, guys, with me. That's why Potiphar's wife grabbed his coat. Because it is your clothing that threatens the devil. When you put on your clothing, what do I mean by that? When you put on your identity, the clothing that God has ordained you long before the foundations of this world, the person who has called you before you even formed your mother's womb, when you put on that clothing on you, the devil gets upset and he gets mad because he knows you are about to walk into your identity. Listen, in Luke chapter number 4, verse number 18, the Bible says that Jesus Christ opened up the scripture and he said these words. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he said, I'm here to begin to preach the gospel, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. In Luke chapter number 4, verse 18, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus, that's when he decided to put on his coat. The next question is, when are we deciding to put on our coat? Are you guys with me? Listen here, I wrote at the bottom, the enemy is concerned with what you wear, how you wear it, and how often you wear it. I can see when people wear insecurity, they're not affected by a lot of things. They're affected by everything. They can't look you in the eye when they talk to you, and it's like, they're affected by rejection. They're wearing a cloak and an identity that God has never ordained for them. Are you guys with me? Listen here, I wrote there, the devil hates it when you wear your coat. He wants to grab it. Go with to point number 3 there. I want to close off with this. And this is only the start of the series. It's going to get better and better. And then we're going to get eventually into technicalities of an actual dream. The Bible says with Daniel, that Nebuchadnezzar sat on his bed and he had thoughts in his head, on his bed, about the things hereafter. I'm going to say it again, quote unquote, Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked, unsaved king, sat on his bed and he had thoughts coming into his head, sitting on his bed, coming into his head, thoughts, rayon, speaking of the things hereafter? How can a wicked king receive thoughts of the future? And us Christians, we just say, I don't know, I don't have a job. Listen, a wicked king is seeing the future. You and I have the ability to see the future. It's called the anointing of Rayon. Are you guys with me? It's when your thoughts become sanctified and you have the thoughts of God. And you know that tomorrow this will happen. You know that in 10 years, you don't know when or how this is going to happen, but you know that you're going to be a businessman. Or you know you're going to be a minister. Or you know you're going to be a millionaire. Or you know you're going to be an athlete. But you just know that you know it's thoughts of the year after. If a wicked king can receive it, how much more can you and I, who are spirit-filled, carrying the DNA of heaven on the inside of us, the blood of Jesus Christ on the inside of us, how much more can we not have thoughts of the hereafter? Listen. Point number three. Be bold and wear your coat. Say with me, I'm bold. I'm wearing my coat. When you decide to wear your coat, that is when you go to the blind and say, see. That is when you go to the sick and say, healed. And that is when you go to the demon-possessed and say, be free. Because you have a clothing. Listen here. Luke chapter number 24, verse number 49. It says, tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem until, can anybody say with me, until you are clothed with power from on high, which means that the power of God can clothe you. But that word clothing doesn't mean only clothing, it means clothing that becomes a second skin, a second part of your nature. You cannot take it off or put it on wherever you go. You're baptized and infused with power. You are clothed until a second skin with power. Wherever you are, if you pray for somebody, power comes out. That is being baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. That is when you can walk around and you can do things. Listen. Let's look at Joseph here. He didn't back down one little bit. He never said, brothers, listen, I'll give you the coat, and he never wore it again. Please don't throw me into the spit. Please don't sell me as a slave. Please don't. I'll go back to my father and lie and tell everybody that I'm dead. I'll do anything. I'll compromise. I won't do anything. I'll just stay in the house. I'll wear anything you want me to wear. I'm not going to start my ministry. I'm not going to start my business. I'm not going to take the step of faith to start evangelism or ministering to somebody. I'm not going to do it. I'll just be comfortable because less my family says anything. I'll soon preach on dream thieves, dream killers. Well, first dream killer is a family. First family, then friends, then time. And then there's others like neutrality and etc. Lukewarmness. But it's first family. Your first thing that will come against you when you go for God is your family. And if you can endure that, it's your friends. If you can endure that, then it's time. It's called dream killers, dream thieves. Come on, guys, with me. Many people put their family before God. So no, Joseph did not compromise. And we know that years later, all those who had helped and sent Joseph into slavery were eating from his hand. You'll see when we get to the end of the story, at the end of the series. At the end of it all, Joseph said, God sent me before you. Your enemies will deliver you right into the promise of God for your life. Your enemies are just helping you out to help them out one day. I'm going to say it again. Your enemies is just helping you out so that you can help them out one day. They don't know that they're delivering you right into the destiny. They don't know that they're taking you to the exact place that they're trying to avoid you of going to. May the anointing of dreams come upon you. May every dead dream be resurrected in this place. May every dream that has gone dormant be resurrected in this place. May every dream that has gone dead be resurrected in this place today.